Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are going to meet the amazing, talented, and beautiful Sohee Chun. Welcome
you.
To the podcast. She's an executive coach. I met her this year at a women's conference, and I was so impressed with the things that she taught me about mindset, balancing work and life, and the fact that there is no work-life balance. She has a PhD in organizational psychology. She's worked with huge firms, and she understands workplace dynamics for women, how to empower and enable women. She's worked with organizations like Warner Brothers, JPL, Washington Mutual Chase, and currently she's CEO of her own consulting firm, SJ Consulting. She specializes in leadership coaching, and very excited that you have a new book coming out in March.
I do. This is so timely for me to be here, so thank you for having me.
Yes. Tell us about your new book. What's the title? What's it about? You've written two books now.
Yeah, so this is my second book, and like having kids, which I have three, it's like giving birth, and it's the most worthwhile thing. So this book is called The Inner Game, Secrets of High-Achieving Women for Navigating Work, Life, and Mindset.
Wow. Mindset is so critical, I think.
Oh, it's the key to anybody that wants to authentically reach success that's unique to them, whatever and however they define success. Mindset is the foundation to that.
I think this topic is so timely. Being in aesthetics, in the aesthetic industry, you came to a women's leadership conference for aesthetic leaders. Mm-hmm. Our industry is 90% women. Our patients are 90% women. The injectors out there that are running small businesses basically are 90% women. And we're all overworked and exhausted and barely holding it together. Like as a mother of four kids, even though my kids are kind of grown now, but I have still felt the trauma of like trying to hold it together and be the best version of myself for my husband, for my kids, for my employees, for my patients. It's a lot.
It is so much. And that is exactly what I hear from every ambitious woman, every business owner woman. And it is a woman thing because we get so locked into the mindset and talk about mindset stuff where we want to do it all for everyone. And so last on that list is us and the things that give to us so that we can keep giving to others. So we got to flip it. And that's what mindset is all about, is how do you flip it so that it's in service of you? And when I say it, it's the inner narrative, the voices in your head, the things that are talking to you, which a lot of people just remain unaware of. And so if you can become aware of it and what it's saying, then you can be in service of yourself so that you can give to others and the things that are a priority in your life.
What is this inner monologue that we keep telling ourselves as women, and who taught it to us?
I know. Whose voice is it?
Is this the 1950s housewife mentality that somehow trickled down through our mothers to us? Because I feel like we're in the modern age, and sadly, I still feel like my own daughters have a little bit of that, like, women have to be skinny, they have to be beautiful, they have to be, like, PhDs, they have to be everything.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot. There are a lot of variables, as you know. It's part family and what we're enculturated to. It's the voices that we grew up with in our own household. Mm-hmm. It's also widely driven by society, right? We can't avoid the social media or the news or the things that we see out there about what we think it looks like and means to be a successful woman today. And so my first book, Mommy Tracked, which is on Amazon now, is really about what does success look like for you? Forget about everyone else. Forget about the shoulds or the things that you think you should do. Mm-hmm. But what is it for you, and how do you want to do that? So that's the first book, and playing on that. The second one is about, now let's get under the hood and talk about the mindset stuff that serve us and that don't serve us. But beyond that, this book is a collection of wisdom. So I took a year to survey all of the highly successful, ambitious coaching women that allowed me to survey them, as well as the women in my tribe that are super successful, around what's the mindset that gets them through challenges. Mm-hmm. So this book is a drop-in into those conversations where we're around the table with these amazing women and the advice that they would give themselves and others on how to do this thing called life and do it really confidently.
I see my own girlfriends and my own patients like eating themselves up and criticizing themselves, and they talk to themselves in their mean girl voices and you just want to shake them and be like, no, you have to be kind and talk to yourself in your nice girl voice. And yeah. So what are kind of three messages that we need to be saying internally to give us a mindset shift?
Yeah. So the book, when it comes out March 5th, talks about all the different mindsets that we get stuck in. So people pleasing mm-hmm. mindset, the we should mindset, the perfectionist mindset, which I'm sure I myself have, you know, and grapple with those on any given day, right? The first place to start is really to create awareness. So one, get tuned in to what your inner critic is saying. Mm-hmm. So once you have that awareness, the next step then is to just Mm-hmm. It's not about getting rid of it entirely, because that's really a hard place to be. You can't eradicate something, mm-hmm. but you can really quiet it. And then the third step is to choose a more supportive statement. So like you would do for your friend who you hear is being really harsh to themselves. Mm-hmm. One, hey, do you realize that you're saying that? Do that to yourself.
Yeah.
And then what's a more supportive thing? So for example, you know, okay, so I came out of the dentist's office this morning. And so my inner critic was like, oh my gosh, you have this indent on your face, and how can you record a podcast? So it started getting really harsh and mean. And I said, okay, I'm aware that she's loud right now.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to tell myself is, it's okay. This is the real me on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with recording a podcast like that and moving forward.
I think that's important. Like, in order to not be the victim, you have to acknowledge in your own head when you hear you're thinking of yourself as a victim and mentality, and then you can't beat yourself up for it, because that's human nature.
Right.
But you do have to step back and say, like, okay, I hear my victim voice playing in my head, and I'm going to not listen to her today. Let's put her aside and bring out our hero voice.
Yes. Right? Or what I call bring out your inner champion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, your coach.
Yes, your inner coach. And that's literally everybody is in this game. And I call it a game because that's the game you play with yourself. And the better you get at it, the more, you know, core confidence you build. And doesn't that benefit everyone?
It really does. What are the main common challenges for high-achieving women in this day and age? I feel like we try so hard. We write a movie like Barbie.
Right?
We play a role like Margot Robbie. And we're like playing it to the T, and then Ken gets nominated. Barbie or Greta or anybody else. So, I mean, America Ferrera at least got nominated. But
I love her.
I love that speech that she gave in the Barbie movie.
Oh,
so poignant.
That is replayed in my house all the time. It is so on point.
It is.
Isn't it? We beat ourselves up. Everything she said, I can't repeat that, because it was so beautiful how she stated it.
Yeah.
And profound.
Really amazing. Yeah. Like, we have to be too thin and too, you have to be tall, but not too tall. And you need to be thin, but not too thin, or people will critique you for losing weight too fast.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the
it's a drive no-win.
For perfection. This chase of perfection is really hard, having three daughters, teaching women and my staff and the young people around us today about the fact that you don't need to be perfect.
So the big P, perfectionism, is, getting to your question, one of the big things I see with my clients, right? Even if you are entry level at work, no matter what phase of life or career you're in, perfectionism is on the side with them. And some of us use it as a way to fuel us, which is, I think, kind of a negative track to be on, mm-hmm. because there are other ways that are, again, more supportive of your ambition. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it leads to burnout. So that's epidemic, right? We saw so many stories of this during the pandemic, because we mm-hmm. wore 10 hats and then 20 more hats to, if we have kids, do all the things at home as well. Mm-hmm. So burnout is big, and burnout is, if you get under the hood of burnout, it's because of these mindsets that we need to people please, that we need have no time, that we give it to everybody else's priorities. So burnout is the outcome of these really damaging mindsets that we have, mm-hmm. that we let rule.
I almost feel like you have to crash and burn to realize that you're in burnout. Because for a year or 2 years, I was doing things at such a fast, high pace and, like, pushing myself really to the max.
Yeah.
And you see the accident coming, but until you hit the wall, you don't realize that you're burning out.
Well,
and then suddenly something happens, like a health problem or, you know, something that puts life in perspective happens.
Yeah. So this is, Dr. Gay, I love that you said that, because this is what I'm on the mission for. I want to de-glamorize that, because also that happened to me. And you heard me talk about this at the conference, right?
I did. Where it's very moving.
Super burnt out and like laid over on my couch with my kids flanked around me. That is what I want to help other women avoid, because I don't want to glamorize anybody having to go through that to understand that that is not healthy and that we can look ahead and prevent that for ourselves. So that's the work of the inner game and everything that I'm on, that I'm here to do on this planet.
What are a couple tips for burnout prevention?
Okay. One, it's to practice the micro action of saying no more.
Micro action. I like it.
Thank you. I obsess, and micro action is my thing every day, because again, as really ambitious women, we want to do it all, and then we collapse it all as though we have to accomplish all of that today.
Yeah.
And guess what? That creates overwhelm. And then that leads to inaction. So there's a lot of downstream impacts of that type of thinking. So the micro action is, what am I going to do right now and today that will help me move forward? So in this instance, it might be, okay, I'm going to take a breath. Reset.
Everybody now, let's do it. Actually feels quite good,
doesn't it? Taking a breath. We often hold our breath, so maybe that is the micro action that we all need on a daily basis. Take a breath, and then what's the action that will move you one step forward and closer to your goal? So repeating that and making that a priority, I think, really helps people. And then the second thing is, wow, if we do get to like overwhelm or burnout, just give yourself compassion and grace. And that to me looks like, okay, Sohi, you can reset. It's okay. It's not, you know, baked in stone, or it's not a forever damaging thing. It's okay.
Yeah. Permission to restart again the next day.
That's right.
I think you have to give yourself grace and permissions. And I love that idea of micro actions, because it's, for me, it's so hard to have big New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to gym. I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, my God. The new year, new me.
Yeah, it's so hard. And then you feel like a failure because you had this ambitious goal that is unrealistic.
You know what's interesting? I just wrote an article about that on LinkedIn. So, you know, please look that up on LinkedIn. It's called The Inner Game. And what I wrote is that 80%, so Newsweek found that 80% of people by mid-February or even end of January, really, 80% just let go because they feel like they failed at their goals. They have lost the motivation, that we all feel the motivation hype January 1, right? New year, new me. And then it fades. And so the counter to that is creating systems. So what I mean by that is, do you have, so let's say, let's take the common one, right? Everyone wants to lose weight January 1st. 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 20, whatever that looks like for you. The reason why we fail is we anchor on the outcome, which is that, okay, I'm going to be 20 pounds lighter. And then we use the motivation January 1st to, we think and fool ourselves into thinking that that's going to get us there.
Right.
What we don't put into account is that we need accountability systems. So that looks like, hey, I'm going to lose, I'm going to try to lose 5 pounds by March. Dr. K, are you in with me? And can you and I call each other every day if we have the same goal?
Yeah, that really works.
It works, because it allows you to get past the slumps of your own motivation, because guess what? Feelings come and go. And you're going to feel hyped up one day. You're going to definitely lose motivation the next day. Trust me, that's human behavior. And so who is going to hold you accountable when you don't feel like it? You need the accountability systems.
Right. That's why when we do an office diet, it works much better than when one person's trying to lose weight and everybody's ordering their favorite junk food for lunch.
Absolutely.
But if we're like, everyone, we're doing an office diet, everyone weigh in. We've done that in the past and we've been really good.
Yeah.
And it's just fun, because you're like all checking what everybody's eating and making sure we're all at least trying to do 80% good choices.
Yes.
That works.
So think about that in relation to your life. As a business owner, as a mom, what are those systems that you have in place to help you along when you know you're going to hit that slump?
I think the micro action idea is game changing too, because like, I feel like so hard for me to say I'm going to work out every single day and I get home tired. But if I say, okay, I'm just going to put my jogging shoes on And then, like, that's the big step in action I'm taking. Yeah. And I find that once my shoes are on, I'm headed out the door.
That's right.
Because, like, okay, the shoes are on. I'm just going to step outside for a minute. And then I'm just going to go for my, you know, walk or run. And yeah. I think that micro action of putting the shoes on is what changes the game.
I love that. And if that works for you, do it. So I have a similar example yesterday. So the thing, there are two things that I do that are non-negotiables for me and managing my mindset. Is I meditate every morning, and guess what? When it's even crazy, like a crazy day, I meditate even more. Because I know that that sets my foundation for the day. And then the second thing is movement. So yesterday being one of those days that we have where back to back and you go from thing to thing, I didn't get my movement in, and I try to do it in the morning. Doesn't always work out, right? So I started to go down that road of like, oh my God, I've been sitting all day. This is horrible. Right. And the inner critic was chiming in. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk my dog, and that's going to count as movement for me today. So I walked my dog as, for as long as I could. And that's that got me out of the house and moving my body. And I accomplished my goal.
Yeah. And then you feel good about yourself.
Right.
So much of it is not letting yourself down, I think, because when you tell yourself you're going to do something, then you keep flaking on that goal, like you erode your confidence in yourself.
Oh my God, Dr. K, right? That's nuggets of wisdom right there.
It's true, because then you feel like, I can't even count on myself to do a simple thing.
Yes! I cannot jump out of my seat like big enough. I mean, that is also the secret to core confidence. When people and women talk about, how do I build my confidence? It's show up for yourself. Do the things that you tell yourself you're going to do.
Yes. And that's so hard. But when you make it a micro action, like you just taught me, that's amazing. And okay, one micro action I'm going to tell to all my viewers that I've been doing is really hard to commit to exercising. But I said, like, okay, I'm just going to do 20 squats every day while I brush my teeth every single day. So guess what, guys? I'm up to 40 squats a day, and my legs are stronger. Woo! And I think it's been great. Actually, my knees feel good, and it's simple. And like, I can't say no because I have to brush my teeth. Yeah, and I'm standing right there. I might as well be squatting, and I just push myself to do it. So that, and then by the time I've done 40 squats, I'm on to like 10 push-ups, 20 push-ups. So.
Oh, look at that! The momentum builds on itself. I love
so
it.
So good, right?
Yes, that is the thing. So the other secret.
Okay, so far we have micro actions, then we have like committing
and showing up,
committing
for yourself
publicly, yes, with friends and colleagues supporting you.
That's right, accountability. The third thing I'm going to share is around, oh man, I just had it. Oh gosh, it'll come back to me. This is mommy brain, people. This is reality. Let's keep rolling because it'll come back to me.
Let's see if I could think of a third thing. Okay, so building your confidence by not, you know, cheating on yourself. You say you're going to do it, don't critique yourself.
Yes, that's
if
right.
If you forget or you don't do
oh,
it.
Oh, now it came back to me. Thank you for that transition. Consistency.
Consistency, yeah.
So let me say that again. Consistency, not perfection.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, so some very form different of movement versus no movement.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Very different, and I want people to really reflect on that, because the win is if you could do those micro actions consistently over time. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the things you do every day are going to be so much more impactful than the things you do once a month or every 3 months. I tell patients that when they see me for their beauty. Yeah, you can see me every 3 months, 4 months for your Botox, but if you're not doing great skincare every single day, like, we're not going to move the needle.
That's right. And I think it's really demystifying that, because we live in the age of social media. We live in the whole, like, always see our outcomes and the big moments. We think that that's what amounts to success. It's really the behind the scenes stuff, the micro actions that people do every day, or as much as of the day, or, you know, consistently as possible. Let me move away from the everyday thing. It's about consistency. That's what we need to really talk about, because that's what success is.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about imposter syndrome, because it's so prevalent. I see so many talented women around me in aesthetics, and they're just not putting themselves out there to the extent that maybe they could or should, because they just don't feel like they are worth it or that they're good enough to have the imposter syndrome.
Right. There's a whole slew. I love that question. So imposter syndrome, I say, is the outcome of letting the inner critic rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me say that first and foremost, and I see it everywhere, especially with the clients, the females that come to me, and I work primarily with females, and that's my niche. And that is, if it's not out the gate, their number one challenge, it's top three. Mm-hmm. And so I invite people to really reframe it, to welcome this feeling of vulnerability, because isn't that what it is underneath the anxiety we might have, or the, oh, I'm not going to do it. It's this thing that we feel is very important to us, mm-hmm. right? And anytime we're doing something new, different, out of the box, or something that feels like we're pushing towards that feels very risky to us, we're going to have those feelings where we're not maybe ready or good enough or, ooh, not me. Invite that in, mm-hmm. because I think that we associate those with like, what's wrong with me? I can't do this. And we get really negative about it. But if we understand that anytime we're doing something new and something that is important to us that feels risky, we're going to have those feelings. It's normal human nature.
Yes, definitely.
First and foremost. And then secondly, it's really to start reframing, right? Okay, I feel really nervous right now. I don't know if I'm ready. What's that step forward that I'm going to take that is going to get me closer to doing that thing that I want to do? Mm-hmm. So it might be, all right, Dr. K, I really admire you. I see you at a conference. You're talking, and I want to do and emulate a business like yours. And I might feel really anxious and scared and go, oh, no, she's not going to want to talk to me. And it's really recognizing that. And feeling like, okay, this is important to me. Dr. K is somebody that I really admire. I want to talk to her. Take a breath. Okay, I hear you. I hear you, inner critic. And then go, what's that step? Okay, I'm going to just tap her and see if she has a minute to talk to me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I really went through fast to like a model and an action for, you know, how people can actually put this in place. But to know that we all have those voices. It's imposter syndrome is the outcome of the inner critic.
How do you prepare yourself? You're going to go give a big lecture. I do this all the time, but I still have my, you know, eighth grade fear of speaking publicly. I always have to overcome the butterfly moment. And in some ways, the butterfly energy is good because it lights you up and gets your adrenaline pumping.
True.
But you do have to channel it. So it goes from fear to like excitement. And what do you do to coach yourself to get, okay, I'm going to go on stage. Are there some things you tell yourself or some techniques or breathing?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm happy to share. And then you have to share what you do too. I know.
I just struggle and get up there.
Okay, let's unpack this. So one, it is to be prepared, right? So
yes, know your shit.
Know your shit. You can't just, if it's a big, it doesn't matter. If you're in front of people, rehearse.
Yeah.
Now, the line between rehearsing and over rehearsing, you got to know when it's mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. So definitely know your shit. And I say that use that butterfly energy as a way to like get you into the mode of being very inspiring and energetic, whatever the message is you want to convey.
Yeah.
And then for me personally, I have a morning routine or a routine before I speak, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I get on with my coach who for like 5 to 10 minutes, who gets me in the mindset of the energy that I want to convey, whether it's inspiring or motivational or some version of that. And then I also, I have to get movement in. If I don't exercise, if I'm traveling and speaking, I'll go to the gym, I'll meditate. Those two non-negotiables are with me, whether I'm at home or traveling. Mm-hmm. And then talking to my business coach. And then, I get on stage and I use that energy to really pour out to the people mm-hmm. in front of me.
Those are great tips. I think movement, thinking about the big picture. I heard a speaker once who said that she would go outdoors and like that just calmed her because you realize like you're a small little ant on the planet. Mm-hmm. And like what you're saying, like, does it really matter in the spectrum of eternity and life and nature and all that? Like you just ground yourself and like be realistic. And then I love the idea of movement. Mm-hmm. I always think a lot in the shower the morning of.
Shower magic.
Rehearsal talk. Yeah. Voice warm up in the shower. So that's always fun.
Yeah.
And then I just love the audience too. Like I'll look out at the audience and in my head I've turned it into like the scary audience of experts. And in reality it's like I'm looking out there and there's really nice people out in the audience. Yeah. So I try to make that connection. Like she looks nice. She looks nice. You know, like, this is going to be great. These are nice people in the audience.
See, look at that. That's reframing. Yeah. And they actually are, right? They're there because you have something to give.
Yes.
So orient to that. And then here's the thing. It's a pro tip. Like, the night before, check out the venue, right? So go and look at the stage and then don't stay out too late, that type of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But there's a whole mindset you have to get into. And I think that applies to in the boardroom. In the operating room, like if you're going in front of a, you know, your board of directors or you're presenting your TED talk, whatever it is, there is definitely a mindset.
Oh, yes, which I have done. I've done a TEDx talk.
How was that?
Oh, it was. That's for another podcast. Oh, I mean,
I'm going to have to call you for coaching.
Are you going to do one?
Someday I'd love to do a TED talk.
Let's talk. Okay. Yes. Speaking of TED talk. So yeah, that was an experience, and it is a mindset thing. And for sure, when women are in the boardroom, I think that is something that they have to be very mindful of, because regardless of whether we would like it or not, we are judged for our presence.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's is she likable? Is she credible? And I think that that's amplified as females and in the workplace and, you know, for any space that we take up. It's amplified. And so knowing that, how will you do the things in service of showing up the best way that you can?
Mm-hmm. You have to really think about that. Who do you want to portray? What energy are you giving off? Are you dressing? Unfortunately, for women, it's so appearance-based. Like, you know, do you wear clothes that are too seductive? Are you wearing a low-cut dress? Are you wearing too much fragrance or makeup? Like, all of that plays into how the audience reads you.
It's true.
And so you have to really also just frame, you know, what appearance and what image do you want to give off, I think.
And you're in the image business.
We are, and human nature is such that we judge and decide if we like a person in the first 3 seconds when we meet them.
Oh, absolutely. It's really fast and it's very unconscious.
Yes.
So there is that factor that we can't deny. And I do think that it's getting less and less judgy for women. The more women that are out there and authentic and true to how they want to show up, the more in service that we are of, you know, undoing that kind of bias that we're up against.
What are some leadership tips that you would give for women who want to be in a position of leadership? And each one of us is the leader of our family, the leader of our small business. Like, how should we show up as good leaders?
I love that question, because to your point, we all lead in our own ways. So whether it's in the workplace, in your community, in your friend circle, mom circle, whatever, we can be leaders. And so the number one thing I'm going to say is work with a coach.
Yes.
I think that, like any athlete or any CEO, they all have people that support them on this journey. So get the support you need to show up in the best way that you want to show up. And that could be working with a coach. And then the other thing is really own who you are and how you want to show up in the world. So once you start becoming more aware of how you want to be in the world, create the systems that allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's hard for women to be in a bossy leadership position.
Tell me more about the bossy. Now I'm interviewing you. What does that mean?
Well, you know what? I'm the oldest of four kids, and my sister and my brother, they always thought I was the bossiest. So,
yeah.
I mean, I enjoy that role. But in the office, it's hard to be demanding without coming across as bitchy. And in the operating room in the hospital, I have to be friends with all the nurses and chatty and comment on how cute their outfit is before I ask them to do something that I need them to do. Whereas if I'm a man, I'm just going to be like, I need this, this, that, and that.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. I have other things to do.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to be a woman in the workplace and in the operating room, because I think that we have these self-imposed behavioral constraints, and you have to work within them to not be considered aggressive, bitchy, bossy.
That is absolutely. I love that you brought that up, because that is the reality of a lot of the workplaces that we're in, right? And I think that it is about if you're able to, in the interactions that you're in, show value, like see people in a genuine way, that's enough. So what I mean by that is, you know, I don't think we have to overly do to compensate for being a female.
Yeah.
And because that's perpetuating that, right? And if for you, it feels genuine to be, to say, for example, in the morning, Dr. K, lovely to see you. Let's do X, Y, and Z. that's enough. That's authentic to you. Mm-hmm. So it starts from a place of what resonates for you and how can you value the person you're in interaction with.
Definitely. Right. Definitely. And then maybe teaching our children too. To like absolutely. Show up and not have to, hopefully our children don't have that baggage where they have to show up and be like, oh, I love your dress and can you do this, this and that.
Right.
Because like also I want to be able to like just interact with a human, mm-hmm. not necessarily a male or female.
And exactly. I get you. And I have a daughter. Do you have daughters?
Three.
You have three daughters.
One son.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and then we approach the kids differently too, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Unconsciously, we have our own self-imposed thought process of how girls should talk, how guys should talk, how we talk to our kids.
Well, look, so this is why I say mindset is so important, is understanding not only in the workplace realm, but also how it's serving you or not at home and what kind of biases or unconscious, conscious stuff we're passing on. And I always say my greatest work, yes, it's the book and helping women and all of that, really is also with my kids. If I can create a generation through what I do with my kids or help a generation of kids not have the same biases and same kind of challenges that I had growing up, which were many, mm-hmm. coming from an immigrant family and all of that, I still do work, a lot of work on myself. And if I can help my kids navigate that easier, then that's the greatest contribution I think I can make.
Definitely. What do you think about manifesting in terms of mindset? Do you believe in manifestation and how mindset can influence that?
Oh my gosh, I love this topic. So yes, and let me be clear. I do believe in manifestation and that we need to talk about that it isn't about sitting here and going, I'm going to manifest a multi-billion dollar business and keep going. It's you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what popular manifesting social media stuff doesn't really emphasize. Mm-hmm. That yes, you can want something. However, what are you doing every day through the micro actions to make it come to into your life?
Right.
It takes work. It's not just to sit and wish for it.
Definitely. But I think it's a useful exercise, at least on the yearly or even more often than that, to think about how you want your life to go and to kind of place some unconscious goals into existence on paper.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So for that, I love the thinking big and the dreaming big aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then when you drill down, what are you going to do?
What's your big dream in the next 5 years?
Oh, gosh. Dr. K, I didn't know you were going to ask me that.
I got to throw you off guard a little bit.
No, I love it. So first, I don't think in 5 years. I think in yearlies, and then, you know, it'll add up.
5 years is a lot.
It's a lot. The world changes so fast. I like to pivot and be agile. So mm-hmm. for this year, it is really to make sure that my book impacts as many women as possible. Mm-hmm. And thank you for helping me do that and having me on here.
And I'm so excited to get it. I can't wait. So it premieres and launches on March
5th.
Okay, good. And tell us the title one more time.
It is The Inner Game, Secrets of High Achieving Women for Navigating Work, Life, and Mindset.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's going to be a great read.
It is. And so the other part to that is to speak on as many stages as possible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that this year manifests so many of those dreams for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. You've inspired me a lot. When I went to this lecture and she came up on stage, the first thing she said was like, all this balance is bullshit. There's no such thing as work-life balance. And that really stuck with me. Like, that's so true. Why do we feed women lines like have work-life balance? Mm-hmm. You can't. Life fluctuates. One thing takes over, another thing takes the backseat. You just have to balance all. It's juggling,
actually. It's honoring the season that you're in.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure. Where can our listeners find you?
They can find me at my website, www.sohijunphd.com. And I'm really active on LinkedIn, Sohijun. Okay. And then Instagram, they can always find me there, too.
You guys have to check her out. That's Sohijun. And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. Our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find are amazing products for busy, multitasking, juggling ladies like us.
That's right.
Definitely send you home with some awesome hyaluronic acid and some brightening vitamin C serum. You're going to love them.
I need them. Thank you.
I know you. She's beautiful, but these are two products that will transform your skin. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Don't forget to manifest and balance as best as you can to get this boss girl life. Love you. Stay beautiful.